Praise the Lord. It's wonderful having... Could you please all mute your microphone, dear saints? It's not possible today, tonight, to be together, but nevertheless, we ask for His will and search His will. We don't think that the Lord wants to hide, but He wants to show us what is on His heart, what is so important to Him. I want to have a short sight back, a view back. Last time in spring we were together in such a conference. Our burden was the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come. And I think in this time and in the conferences, in the weeks later, we got a appreciation about the kingdom of God. What a price has He paid that He would give, would receive His kingdom. And I want to read quickly. We know the desire of the disciples when they came to the Lord. Lord, teach us praying. And the Lord really taught them. They taught Him a prayer not to be repeated again and again, but it's a prayer which is directed directly what is important to Him. Matthew 6 verse 9, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to read just until this point. As we have passed some time for His kingdom to come in spring and in summer, it's very good now to continue this prayer. Your kingdom come, verse 10, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God needs people to intercede that His will be done, but also on earth. People who have a desire that His will be done and want to know His will. When I was preparing this meeting, I asked myself, what is so special in His will? What is so special in His will? What makes this will so important for us? There might be some answers, and I think we will reach one or the other answers during that conference. An importance of a will depends on the importance of a person expressing this will. We are a family at home. A lot of some of these small children, they are very short. Sometimes with my children, a desire or a will is only for a time of half an hour, and after half an hour, this will is already forgotten. But if this living God, who is reigning over all, who is from eternity to eternity, when this God expresses his will, this will is much more important than any other will of a human being. It is not a will which changes into the complete opposite during a certain time slot. But it's good tonight to spend some time with the main pillars of the will of God. When we read the Bible, there's some verses speaking about his will. And tonight, I want to show, probably also on the board, what this will consists of. I would say the will of God has three pillars. I don't know if it is technically possible, but I would love somebody from online reads the verse, and then parallel I just I draw something on the board, and your saints who are now online, I will show that picture in Teams if you look into my into your screen. First Timothy 2:3-4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the will of God. He wants all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It begins with our salvation. It began with us opening our lives towards him, that our hearts were open to the living God. And we have been saved. We let us be saved out of this, out of sin, out of this time. This was God's will for us, that we would be saved, but he also has that desire that all men should be saved. We are happy to be saved, yes. We are very thankful. But God sees beyond. When we go into the Word, let us read very in a very earnest way. Even if I draw a picture now on the board, it's really good to see the whole will, not only a picture. He not only desires all men to be saved, but to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the German translation, it says, to the full knowledge of the truth. He wants to bring us to the full knowledge of the truth. Have we not been happy being saved, that our sins are now forgiven, that we have received eternal life? What about reaching the full knowledge of the truth? There is much more to achieve. He wants to bring us into the full truth.
Drüber sprechen und der Herr will sich uns offenbaren.
We will speak about that during these days, and the Lord wants to reveal himself to us. Then we come to the second pillar, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. First Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Amen. What is the will of God? Our sanctification. The Lord has saved us. He also wants to sanctify. There are not so many verses who particularly emphasize the will, but this here it is explicitly mentioned. It's not a religious way of thinking, old-fashioned lifestyle. No. Sanctification is a separation for our Lord, for the living God. He wants to separate us for himself. He wants to change our being, that is, we are according to his nature, that we abstain from sexual immorality. Here in this verse, it's really clearly mentioned. And if you look into this world today, it's not without reason. Yes, we turn our hearts towards the Lord, but we really turn away from all the immoral things in this world. There are so many things in this world which pollute us and make us impossible to take part in his holy nature. Therefore, we really have to abstain from them. Sometimes it's modern that you arrange yourself with so many things in this world. Yes, we arrange with cultures, with situations. We can arrange with things or persons which we don't like too much, but we accept it. But here, Paul doesn't say anything about arranging yourself, but it's abstaining. Because it is the will of God, because the will of God needs our abstaining. This is the will of God, our sanctification. Fortunately, I don't have to speak about all these aspects because every single aspect will be part of the next meetings and the Lord will speak to us. But I want to show the third pillar, and we might read now Matthew 16, verse 18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against them. Amen.
Amen. Ja, der Herr will seine Gemeinde bauen.
He will build his church.
In Unwissenheit gelassen, was ihm wichtig ist. Für uns persönlich.
He didn't leave us in
Gemeinschaft für uns Gläubige als Gesamtheit.
Not knowing about his will. No. God, for us believers, he told us what is important in his eyes. He wants, he desires to build his church, and he will do it. Church is not something being nice together as believers. Church is not a knitting together of Christians. Yes, that is an aspect. But the church is here because God, the living God, has this plan to build his church with us. It is his particularly emphasized will. I'm sure we will read this verse again in these days, but I want to read this verse with you, Ephesians 3. Where do we start? Verse 9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be known, now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're talking here about God's eternal purpose. In accordance with the eternal purpose. I heard about a company starting to define the purpose, and they started to redefine the purpose, but this purpose will not remain forever. But talking about God's will, God's purpose, it is an eternal purpose. He carried out from the very beginning, and he wants to express this will through the church, may be known through the church. I have to say, this is wonderful. How should it be done? How should it be executed today through the church? Some time ago, I met somebody who, because of negative experiences, he said, well, the church is something for the future. And it was not so easy for me to persuade him, Yeah, we see in Revelations, we have the epistles to the seven churches. And the last chapter, there's also the church. But when we read here in Ephesians 3, the Lord now, through the churches, wants to make known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. This third pillar is very important. It's not concerning us personally. It's God's will. He wants to have that today. Yes, we are now restrained at the moment. We can't meet as we would like to. But He still wants to build His church today. And we believe it. And we are persuaded that He will do it. Amen. We're not only convinced, but we also give ourselves for that. We intercede for that, that His will be done. Now, the picture will be continued. We have these three pillars now, the three carrying elements we have now read, and these are the three verses where the will of God is explicitly named. We might now read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
So, 1. Thessalonicher 5, 16 bis 18.
I read this verse again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Once again, explicitly name the will of God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is it? Rejoice always. Amen. Always. Don't forget always. Rejoice always. I don't know about you. In these days, you might lose your temper or your hope. But we, brothers and sisters, we still have enough to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And if we talk about the will of God, and we also have to talk about this, the prayer. As we read in the very beginning, may your will be done in this prayer of Jesus. God needs people today that His will be done without ceasing. I don't want to say too much about it. When we have a desire to cooperate with God's will, to promote God's will, then prayer is a wonderful way. We can pray without ceasing. Yes, we might be capable of things or not be capable for others, but we all can pray. We can pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Yes, give thanks. In these last weeks, here in Stuttgart, we had some fellowship about giving thanks.
So manche kostbare Wahrheit. Also was mir zum Beispiel hängen geblieben ist, sind die
There are wonderful truths.
Alle sind geheilt worden.
Look about these 10 lepers. There was only one to come back to say thank you, Jesus. Is that not astonishing? Small children, you already teach, say thank you. Even in the kindergarten, you teach the children, say thank you, but we forget it. We keep forgetting it, even as believers. Especially concerning His will, we pray a lot. Yes, it's wonderful. But is there no reason to say thanks, to give thanks? Have we not seen how the Lord has answered our prayers? Even if we don't see it, but we can still thank Him that He is the Lord, sitting on the throne, reigning, being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We have enough reason to give thanks. And this will change our prayer. Sometimes our prayer is focused on our desires or on our burdens, and sometimes this pushes on down. Sometimes you keep praying and you keep praying and you think, yes, okay, the Lord is the right authority, but you don't see anything moving, and then sometimes you are burdened, negatively burdened. And I have to admit, this word about giving thanks really helped me. Don't be any superstitious and superficial to think, to always say thank you, thank you, thank you. No. But thank Him for what He has already gained, what He has already fulfilled. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It promotes God's will when we say thank you. Therefore, I put this as a uniting element of all the three pillars. How will the full knowledge of the truth be promoted, encouraged through our prayer? How will the sanctification be pushed through a prayer? And also the building up of the church will be promoted. But what about His will for us? Have we already prayed for His will in our personal life? A choice of study, of job, partner choice, buying a house. These are opportunities where we know and where we experience how wonderful it is to be able to ask for His will.
Dann suchen wir seinen Willen für uns ganz persönlich.
Then we seek His way for us personally. But what does it help, if I may share here? What do these pillars here, salvation of all men, sanctification, and the building up of the church, when we see that His will always be in line with these three pillars. God's will always will push the salvation of all men. It will always be our sanctification and will always be the building of the church. And this gives gives us a form in our praying for His will. We can really orientate us. This is a frame for our personal will, or for His will for us, for our personal desires. These three pillars, we can be very important, very, very sure, because they are explicitly named in the Word. This is God's Word, right? The practical things, I don't want to express myself in a wrong way, but if you understood it, send it right, it's good to have a small question mark. Not to be unsure, but to have a question mark that we would keep very close to the Lord and seek Him, continue seeking Him. I want to read a verse in Romans 1, which this is not in the outline. Here in Romans 1, he's not so clear as in Timothy or in Thessalonians. He's talking about a trip to Rome. And here he says, verse 10, Romans 1, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Well, what's up here? Is it not God's will for Paul to go to Rome? Yes, but when? Yes, but how? With whom? There, God's will is not explicitly named. When we search the will of God, sometimes it's not so super clear, but stay on. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So keep attached to Him. We're not talking about a law. We talk about God's will. We're talking about that which is based on these three pillars, but it's always the living God behind these three pillars. It would be a law, it would be a pattern how to behave if every single matter would be written down of the will of God. But the will of God is really in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if we have lost something in this will, stay with Jesus. There's another reason why we should really keep with him. And I asked some brothers here, and they told me there is a foundation which is missing. And here I have this foundation here.
Yeah. And what is the fundament?
What is the foundation?
In diesem Bild gesprochen. Yeah.
If we talk about this picture here, let's read Hebrews 10. Then you might probably know what I'm talking about, which is here already written. Hebrews 10, verse.
Hebräer vergleicht ja die Dinge immer.
Hebrews compares the things always with the Old Testament. What God had given them in the Old Testament compares it with what is now actual, right now, what has changed in the New Testament. I want to read from verse 6. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure.
Die Vorgabe, verschiedene Arten von Opfern zu bringen, war genau der
The Old Testament consisted of many sacrifices.
Wie oft, aus welchem Grund?
Und jetzt which animal had to be brought, how often, for which reason? But now, there is a quotation from the Psalms. In verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. After that, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were clearly in the will. Here, the Lord Himself comes. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. The Lord Himself has come as the one doing God's will as a person. After saying above, verse 8, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. With the coming of the Lord Jesus on this earth, the first is taken away. His death and resurrection have made an end to all offerings. Jesus Christ Himself does God's will.
schreibe jetzt einfach mal die Hebräer-Verse rein. Der Platz ist eng. Ich schreibe es jetzt einfach mal nur den Vers rein.
I just write down Hebrews 10, 7 through 9 on the board. The Lord Himself was the person doing God's will.
Er wurde immer wieder angegriffen, wurde hinterfragt, aber er hat immer wieder auch sehr.
He was attacked, he was questioned on this earth, but he was again and again very clear that he does always what the Father desires. I just want to mention two verses. We cannot reach all the verses. John 6, 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Amen. He has not come for his own will, but the will of him who sent him. Amen. John 8, verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Amen. What a testimony. He could testify from himself, I am always pleasing to God. Therefore, he fulfilled all the promises. So many promises from the Old Testament had to be fulfilled, and there was one promise that he would die on the cross and die for the sin of all people. And then you would say, well, that was clear. The Lord had to go to the cross. Even Isaiah said he had to carry all the sins. But I want to read two verses from Matthew 26, from his way to his cross. Matthew 26, verse 39. He was with the disciples, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.
Also hat hier auf dem Weg des Kreuzes
on the way to the cross,
ja, dem auch nicht angenehm,
he carried a burden which was not pleasant at all to him. I think it's right to say God's will is wonderful, but
ja, der Wille Gottes schränkt uns auch ein.
God's will restrains us.
So sehr wie der Herr hier, dass der Herr sogar sagt, ist es möglich, so gehe dieser Kelch an mir vorüber.
In such a way that even Jesus says, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Verse 42.
Betete und sprach, mein Vater.
He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, your will be done.
Dein Wille geschehe, das war auch, ja, seine Haltung, sein Gebet zum Vater.
That was his attitude to the Father. If this cup cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Many more examples in the Gospels show how the Lord went this way of the cross completely, and also death and resurrection. He fulfilled God's will to the uttermost. He didn't look for an exit. He was obedient to the end. Until today, the way of his will is also today a will of the cross. It's not the way of the old man. Fallen man is not capable to do God's will. In the Word we see a lot of examples, therefore. I just want to mention one of those. Look at the King of Saul in the Old Testament. King Saul is an example for the old man. He actually was the king. He had the official ordination to reign God's people. But because he accomplished his own will, he was not capable to be this king. Till the point that God really had to deprive him. And that showed our old man cannot do God's will. Even if we try to do it again and again, our old man has no strength. He has no life. He has no glory for this will. And then David came, and then we can read Acts 13, verse 21. Verse 21, Saul was just mentioned, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years, that was everything. Was mentioned here, not much more. This king had to be rejected by God. But now, verse 22, after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Isn't that wonderful? After such a difficult king, David came, a man after my heart who will do all my will. We can be thankful to the Lord for this king, and it's not only being David 1,000 years before Christ, but it's still David is a picture for Christ who has come and done all of God's will on this earth. On him we gaze, on him we hope, and on him we take hold of. But who can do his will? Who was that man? This foundation? The Lord Jesus himself. From him it is written, it is written that there was a body prepared. Hebrews 10, it says, a body you have prepared for me. Yes, sure. In the beginning, it was his body because he was on this earth. But nowadays, he's not anymore on this earth. Today, the body of Christ is expressed and is expressed through the church. Nowadays, the church is there to bring God's will down to the earth. Yes, as individuals, but on top of that, especially through the church. We read about Saul before his salvation in the New Testament. Paul speaks about this, for example, in Acts 22, there's this light and this voice speaking to him. Acts 22, verse 7, I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. Actually, the Lord was already uplifted into the heavens, but Saul persecuted the Christians, the saints in the churches. Therefore, Jesus said, I am Jesus Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. Saul, in that time, worked against the body. The Lord was not happy. But I think there's something very interesting here. The Lord doesn't tell him a lot. You would expect here the Lord appearing to Saul himself from heavens.
So ein Wunder geschieht, da müsste der Herr ihm doch alles sagen, was jetzt zu tun
ist. There is such a miracle here. Now the Lord should speak him all what to do. And Saul said, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go on into Damascus, and there you'll be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. It is a wonderful way to bring a man into the will of God. A voice appearing from the heaven, but not saying everything. But he had to go there, and there he met Ananias, right? Verse 13, came to him and said, me, standing near, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him, and he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will. Aha. Here, the will of God is revealed to Saul through a brother there in Damascus. The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Paul needed, at that time Saul, needed the fellowship of the body to come into the will of God. And I think this is a grace in this time. We are not only solely in front of the Lord, but He will reveal His will to us together, corporately. I would have some more verses, but I just want to mention one more. Peter says something in 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2.
Ja, bezieht sich auch auf das Leben Christi hier auf dieser Erde, weil nun Christus im Fleisch.
He also mentions the life of Christ on this earth. Therefore, 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Amen. I want to emphasize that tonight. There is more time. When the restrictions were told, now these corona restrictions, I wasn't happy. Every week more restrictions, and then you think, well, what can you do? You're at home with the children, what can you do then? But in this verse, in this word, the rest of the time is for the will of God, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh for the will of God. Let us seek His will together in this time of the conference and give ourselves for that and live in His will. Praise the Lord.